I guess you could say it all started in Nandan Nilekani's conference room at Infosys Technologies Limited. Infosys is one of the jewels of the Indian information technology world, and Nilekani, the company's CEO, is one of the most thoughtful and respected captains of Indian industry. I drove with the Discovery Times crew out to the Infosys campus, about 40 minutes from the heart of Bangalore, to tour the facility and interview Nilekani. Nilekani gave our TV crew a tour of Infosys's global conferencing center, ground zero of the Indian outsourcing industry. It was a cavernous wood-paneled room that looked like a tiered classroom from an Ivy League law school. On one end was a massive wall-sized screen, and overhead there were cameras in the ceiling for teleconferencing. So this is our conference room, probably the largest screen in Asia. This is 40 digital screens put together, Nilekani explained proudly, pointing to the biggest flat-screen TV I had ever seen. Infosys, he said, can hold a virtual meeting of the key players from its entire global supply chain for any project at any time on that supersized screen. So their American designers could be on the screen speaking with their Indian software writers and their Asian manufacturers all at once. Outsourcing is just one dimension of a much more fundamental thing happening today in the world, Nilekani explained. What happened over the last few years is that there was a massive investment in technology, especially in the bubble era, when hundreds of millions of dollars were invested in putting broadband connectivity around the world, undersea cables, all those things. At the same time, he added, computers became cheaper and dispersed all over the world, and there was an explosion of software, email, search engines like Google, and proprietary software that can chop up any piece of work and send one part to Boston, one part to Bangalore, and one part to Beijing, making it easy for anyone to do remote development. When all of these things suddenly came together around 2000, added Nilekani, they created a platform where intellectual work, intellectual capital, could be delivered from anywhere. It could be disaggregated, delivered, distributed, produced, and put back together again. And this gave a whole new degree of freedom to the way we do work, especially work of an intellectual nature. And what you are seeing in Bangalore today is really the culmination of all these things coming together. We were sitting on the couch outside of Nilekani's office, waiting for the TV crew to set up its cameras. At one point, summing up the implications of all this, Nilekani uttered a phrase that rang in my ear. He said to me, "Tom, the playing field is being leveled." He meant that countries like India are now able to compete for global knowledge work as never before, and that America had better get ready for this. As I left the Infosys campus that evening and bounced along the road back to Bangalore, I kept chewing on that phrase, "The playing field is being leveled." What Nandan is saying, I thought, is that the playing field is being flattened. Flattened? Flattened? My God, he's telling me the world is flat. I scribbled down four words in my notebook. The world is flat. As soon as I wrote them, I realized that this was the underlying message of everything that I had seen and heard in Bangalore in 2 weeks of filming. I wanted to drop everything and write a book that would enable me to understand how this flattening process happened and what its implications might be for countries, companies, and individuals. Let me start by taking you back to the beginning of my journey to India and other points east and share with you some of the encounters that led me to conclude that the world was no longer round, but flat. Jaithirth Jerry Rao was one of the first people I met in Bangalore, and I hadn't been with him for more than a few minutes at the Leela Palace Hotel before he told me that he could handle my tax returns and any other accounting needs I had from Bangalore. "No thanks," I demurred. "I already have an accountant in Chicago." Jerry just smiled. He was too polite to say it, that he may already be my accountant, or rather my accountant's accountant, thanks to the explosion in the outsourcing of tax preparation. "This is happening as we speak," said Rao, whose Indian firm Emphasis, spelled capital M-P-H-A-S-I capital S, has a team of Indian accountants able to do outsourced accounting work from any state in America and the federal government. We have tied up with several small and medium-sized CPA firms in America.
You mean like my accountant? I asked.
Yes, like your accountant, said Jerry with a smile. Jerry's company has pioneered a workflow software program with a standardized format that makes the outsourcing of tax returns cheap and easy. The whole process starts, Jerry explained, with an accountant in the United States scanning my last year's tax returns, plus my W-2, W-4, 1099, bonuses, and stock statements, everything, into a computer server, which is physically located in California or Texas. The accountants in India call up all the raw information directly from the server in America using a password, and they complete your tax returns with you remaining anonymous. All the data stays in the U.S. to comply with privacy regulations. We take data protection and privacy very seriously. In 2003, some 25,000 U.S. tax returns were done in India. In 2004, the number was 100,000. In 2005, it is expected to be 400,000. Is this the message to Americans? Mama, don't let your kids grow up to be accountants? I asked. Not really, said Jerry. What we have done is taken the grunt work. You know what is needed to prepare a tax return? Very little creative work. This is what will move overseas. What will stay in America? I asked. The accountant who wants to stay in business in America will be the one who focuses on designing creative, complex strategies, like tax avoidance or tax sheltering, managing customer relationships, he said. He or she will say to his clients, I am getting the grunt work done efficiently, far away. Now let's talk about how we manage your estate and what you are going to do about your kids. Do you want to leave some money in your trusts? It means having the quality time discussions with clients rather than running around like chickens with their heads cut off from February to April and often filing for extensions into August because they have not had the quality time with clients. What you're telling me, I said to Jerry, is that no matter what your profession, doctor, lawyer, architect, accountant, if you are an American, you better be good at the touchy-feely service stuff because anything that can be digitized can be outsourced to either the smartest or the cheapest producer, or both. Jerry answered, everyone has to focus on what exactly is their value add.